Thank you, Mohammed, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Christina Dengel, and I lead and work at the Adaptation Fund. As was mentioned by my colleague, the Adaptation Fund is one of the only climate funds that has a regional funding window, with currently around 18 regional projects under implementation. So hence, we decided to produce this knowledge part of the study titled Learning from Transboundary Climate Change Adaptation in AF Projects and Programs, which offers an overview of transboundary adaptation actions and interventions supported by the fund since 2015, since we piloted the funding window. So this is aligned with the learning and sharing pillar of the fund's five-year medium-term strategy, which just ended this year. And its objective is to accelerate learning about approaches that lead to successful transboundary adaptation strategies. The target audience for this study is most of our AF stakeholders, but also current and prospective multilateral implementing entities and regional implementing entities, also our executing partners, NGOs, and in general practitioners interested in transboundary approaches. The study examined transboundary adaptation interventions in five AF-funded regional projects, one in Chile, Ecuador, the other one in the Lake Victoria Basin countries covering Burundi, Rwanda, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda. A third one in the Western Balkan countries covering Albania, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, and Montenegro. One in Volta Basin countries covering Benin, Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, Ghana, Mali, and Togo. And the fifth one is missing. It's a food security project covering Ethiopia, Uganda, and Kenya. So the study examined enabling conditions from transboundary adaptation, but also the opportunities that it offers and challenges in implementing such interventions. It's very small. There's a link to our study, but I'm also happy to share it later on. It's uploaded on our website. Next. Next. Across all these case studies analyzed, a number of enabling conditions, a number of conditions enable project teams to seize opportunities and overcome challenges associated with the transboundary adaptation. And amongst these, one of them would be the common adaptation challenge across borders. So the study suggests that the added value of implementing an adaptation project through the transboundary approach rather than a country-by-country approach appears to be most evident in cases where the climate challenge itself is transboundary. So by contrast, where climatic challenges are distinct across countries and the region and intervention areas, it makes less sense to pursue a transboundary approach. Similarly, where interventions to manage climate impacts in one country, where it has implications in the neighboring countries, it also makes more sense to pursue a transboundary approach. Then a second enabling condition that was found was related to common language, which is probably quite understandable. So common languages across borders may lend themselves particularly well to multi-country adaptation initiatives, as communities may be more readily enabled to share experiences and knowledge of climate impacts and solutions across border. The implementing entities need to take steps to ensure that the dominant languages do not prevent the equitable participation of minority groups who speak perhaps different languages, such as indigenous communities or immigrant communities. A third enabling condition is related to a comprehensive understanding of the institutional landscape across the region among IEs, which is key. So the implementing entities must develop such a comprehensive understanding of the regional institutional landscape, including past experiences at transboundary cooperation in the region. This involves really understanding the strength of the national level agencies as well as their needs for capacity enhancement. And it also involves understanding the mandate, experience, and competencies of any regional or basin level authority, such as those charged with river basin management. And finally, IEs also need to understand the nuanced political and policy realities around past efforts of cooperation in order to develop shared understanding of the adaptation issues to be confronted, but also to find consensus and potential solutions. And a final enabling condition has to do with the robustness and availability of climatic and scientific and socioeconomic information by the project team. And I think that was mentioned before, the importance of data. Having up-to-date data and information from national-level agencies, from regional institutions, and indeed international organizations leads to a strong proposal and builds trust with the national-level agencies. Next. So apart from the enabling conditions, the study generated a few findings, and one of them is related to cost effectiveness, which is also one of the project criteria mentioned by my colleague. Implementing entities and their project partners have found transboundary adaptation projects to deliver strong results on cost effectiveness as opposed to a country-by-country approach to adaptation, which could lead to duplication of efforts or even negative and costly outcomes elsewhere. It seems to be evident that a centralized form of coordination at the regional or supranational scale has proved to be key in delivering cost-effective management, including collective procurement with higher purchasing power. But while a transboundary approach to adaptation does not necessarily guarantee economies of scale, it does offer opportunities for significant cost savings. And the second finding is related to knowledge and sharing. Where transboundary projects seem to offer many opportunities for learning and knowledge transfer about what works, where, and why across local, national, and supranational scales. Along with these opportunities and findings also came some challenges, where the implementing entities have confronted a few of them related to the need for coordination to account for differences in language and cultural norms across countries, also political and institutional characteristics across the project area, infrastructural variabilities in terms of broadband and transport across project territories, and also external shocks such as COVID, which provided some new learning opportunities across territories through the organization of virtual workshops, online knowledge sharing across regions and whatnot. And related to these external shocks, which could come up and are inevitable, one important thing is the inclusion of a comprehensive risk assessment and adaptive management in implementation arrangements from the outset, which could lead, or more likely to lead to successful approaches in transboundary intervention. Thank you. Next. This concludes our presentation, and here you have our information in case you want to contact us related to study or the regional funding window. Thank you.